We're going to start a new Bible study this morning. I'd like you to begin by opening your Bibles to 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter. As we have said many times from this pulpit, even when Pastor Gene was here, many, many times, over and over again, everything that has happened throughout time has been to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that has happened throughout time has come to pass that when he, in the day of his power, his children, his people should be called out of the darkness that we walked in. That means this entire country, for many, many other reasons, I'm sure there are thousands of those who have come to know the Lord since this country has come about. But I know this, that this country was formed so that John Reeves would be born when he was, walk the path that he had to walk through, and be called out of darkness the day, in the day of the Lord's power, that day I sat down the first time in this church. Everything is accomplished according to the will of God, right? So that means the path for each and every one of us is, goes to the exact same thing. All things have happened so that Mike Lovelace would come into this world exactly when he did, so Cheryl would come into this world exactly when she would, and all the rest of us, so that our Lord would call us out of that darkness and call us unto himself. This morning, I want to look at a person's life. We've seen in the life of Paul in our Friday night Bible study, we read this just last Friday night, and how Paul even declares himself to be set forth as an example of how God's people are called out of that darkness. How Paul was set up and how his life was about persecuting the church until the Lord at one time and on the road blinded him and brought him under the understanding and under the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Paul's not the only in sample. He's the only one that I know of that is actually declared as one, but they're all of the people that God uses in Scripture are used as an example. David is used an example of Christ. And in some ways, David is also an example of us. That's why we can read the Psalms and see the prophetic declaration of it, but also see the human part of it. We see ourselves in a lot of what David has written. Moses, a man who stuttered. Some of us may see ourselves in that. All throughout scriptures, we see examples over and over again of mankind and how it relates to our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I would like to start looking at an example that our Lord uses in this man called Peter, who at one time was called Simon. And I just want to read the first few words here in chapter 1 for right now, and then we're going to go to Matthew. It says, Peter, and this is Peter writing, and he's addressing Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now we're going to stop there and we'll come back to this book at some point or another. I don't know how long it's going to take to get here. We are going to come back to these two books that Peter wrote and we're going to look at them in very, very close detail. But until that time, I want to look back at the beginning of the New Testament. So I'd like you to turn back to Matthew, if you would. Matthew chapter 4. And I addressed this just a little bit in last Sunday's message on the calling power of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to begin this study on this one called Simon, whom the Lord surnamed Peter, and we will eventually look closely into the two epistles that he wrote. But first I would like to take a look at the events concerning him that we see in previous scriptures. Just like I opened a moment ago. Everything leads up to another. Everything is according to God's plan. All the things that happened in John Reeves' life, good and bad, have led me to be the person that I am today. all the way my Savior leads me, right? That doesn't mean that He just started leading me the day I came into the church. No, He's been leading everything up to me and everything from me on, and He's going to lead everything continuing on. Because our God works all things out according to His purpose, does He not? He rules all things according to His will. So as we want to take a close look of these two epistles of Peter, we would like to take a moment and see how the Lord uses things in His life working up that puts Peter in that position where he sits down and declares himself to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. That'll be the title for this study, Simon Peter, an apostle of Christ. Our Lord calls His chosen with a holy calling, and that's how we're going to see Peter here, because we really don't know anything of him before. But we do see where the Lord has been walking along the sea and where He calls Peter in, and He is calling him with a call of power. As I had brought out last Sunday, the God-man, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, has all power, and when He speaks, it's with the authority as our Creator. The very one who spoke all things into existence, and He calls His chosen unto Himself. This is not that general call that goes out to all of mankind, the call to believe, but it is a personal calling, a life-giving calling, a call that makes lost, unregenerate souls put down the things of darkness and come to the light. In John 10:26, we read, "But ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." It doesn't say, if they want to, they follow me. No, they know me. I know them, and they follow me. This morning, I would like to look at all three accounts of this calling of Simon Peter in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, to begin a picture of the life of Peter leading up to the time where he wrote those two letters. So let's begin here in Matthew chapter 4, if you would, please, at verse 12. "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, He departed from Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, He came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim. I'll get it.
Naphtali.
Huh?
Naphtali.
The M silent? Verse 13? Nephilim?
Oh, Zebulun.
So, continuing on, verse 14, "that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of in Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Nephilim, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in the darkness saw a great light." This is what it was declared in Isaiah, that those people which sat in the darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Our Lord Jesus Christ is that light. He said, "I am the light and the way," in one of His messages. This is that light that would spring up. "Those who walked in darkness saw a great light, and to them that sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Our Lord was very clear, and people understood exactly what that meant. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the kingdom of heaven, who is the key to heaven, He is the way to heaven, was at hand. Right before them. Christ preached Christ. Verse 18, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And He saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed Him. And going on from thence, He saw two other brethren, James and the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and He called them. And they immediately Not 5 minutes later, not 5 days later, they immediately, at once, he who has all power in heaven and earth spoke. And that's what he does to each and every one of his people. That's what he does to each and every one of those who he has loved from the foundation of the world. He comes to us and speaks through the preaching of his word to our hearts. Come, I will make you fishers of men. And immediately left their ship and their father, and they followed him. And Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel and the kingdom, and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases among the people. Now, let's turn over to Mark chapter 1. So we see the power of God speaking to these men. These men who have all their lives, what have they known? They have known fishing. And here, this man walking by with the power of God, because he is God, says, come, follow me. And what do? They stop exactly what they're doing and they follow him. In Mark chapter 1, we read the same event beginning at verse 14. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee and preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now I want to point out something here. We see a little bit of difference, maybe, but nothing is contradicting each other. Some in the world would say, well, this is contradicting that, but it's not at all. This is three different men who have seen the exact same event, who are portraying it in words according to what they have seen. So that's why there might be a slight difference between what they're talking about here. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught, and they were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Interesting. So Matthew gives us the account of how these men were called. And Mark has something to add to that, doesn't he? Our Lord Jesus Christ spoke as one with authority. I remember the first time sitting in that chair over there, and I've shared this with you many times, but I'm going to do it again. On how I sat there in that chair in the very first time in my life, I heard about the one who has authority. What astonished me most that day was I heard about a God who deserved to be called God. What stood out to me the most that day was that I heard about God Almighty in the flesh, who ruled everything according to his purpose. Who, when he went to the cross, that in the scriptures, he went to the cross with authority and power. His blood did not make people savable. It saved people. That was what astonished me when I heard the gospel preached the first time. That's what Mark is telling us here. You know, if you could want to, you could be saved if you start doing this and doing that, or following this and following that. That's the way the scribes would talk. Jesus talked exactly like his word here is, I have saved my people. God the Father gave them to me. And nobody can pluck them out of my Father's hands. That's what our Lord taught. That's what he preached. This is what Mark is telling us here. The people were astonished because they heard him speak with authority. Not a maybe. Not a might. Not a possibility. But a for sure. An assurance. Now turn over to Luke chapter 5. Luke gives us the most detail of this situation. And we begin at verse 1. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Genezareth. And he saw two ships standing by the lake. Notice the difference in the detail here. Luke was obviously a man who noticed some great detail. My son-in-law is a sheriff. And one time he was, I can't remember exactly what it was we were doing, but we were in Hawaii the first time. And we were doing something, and I just noticed, wow, look at that there. And next thing you know, he's like, oh yeah, look at this. And he starts giving me an incomplete detail of the situation that was around us. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even notice that over there. I didn't even notice that that's what this is all about. Luke's giving us a little more detail. He's one of those people that God has given the gift to pick up on all those small things and show us. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. And Simon Peter saw it, and he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ship to land, they forsook all and followed him. Interesting how our Lord has taken this detail now and showed us the entire picture. Not only did Christ speak with the authority and the power, he backed it up with the miracle of the fish. You see who I am. I am God. Who else could bring in such a bounty of fish? Our Lord proved. And these men believed and followed. What did we say just a few moments ago in the opening? But ye believed not because ye are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. That's what our Lord says, isn't it? Peter is a child of God. Everything in the world was created for that very moment. Just as everything in the world was created for the very moments that Matthew, or that David, or that Moses, and yes, even Adam. And even the sons of Esau. You see, when we stand for our Lord. We stand up for He who works everything. He who is sovereign ruler over everything. That is so important that we be reminded ourselves and that we remind all of those around us. I was talking with someone last week, and they wanted to go down this path about how we should be examples, and we should be doing this, and we should be doing that. And I got a little upset with the situation because our example is this. I believe God. Don't take what you see in this flesh as an example ever of anything, because this is just the flesh. What is my example before the people of this world? I believe my Lord Jesus Christ. Everything He says in His book, the power that He has, the authority that He has, I believe Him. We're going to talk a little bit about more about that in the message to follow. But let me close with an article written by Pastor Don Fortner on this very verse that we were reading here in Luke chapter 5, verse 4. And let me read that verse one more time. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Fortner writes this, he says, in Luke 5:4, we see how that our great and glorious Lord God condescends to use human instruments to perform His great and wondrous works. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. You see, the catching of this great draught of the fish was very miraculous, but the fishermen were just fishermen. The boats were just boats. The nets were just nets. But they were fishermen, boats, and nets that God was pleased to use. There are many who object to this plain revelation of Scripture, fearing that it limits God and gives man a hand in God's operations of grace. Moses did not part the Red Sea. God parted the sea using Moses' rod, did he not? The disciples did not multiply the loaves of fish. No, the Lord Jesus did that. But he let those blessed men distribute food to the hungry. The very one who raised Lazarus from the dead could have easily moved that stone from the mouth of the tomb, but he chose to use men like you and I to roll away that stone from the mouth of the tomb. Well, so too in the salvation of chosen, redeemed sinners, God condescends to work by means of human instruments. It is written, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The instruments God uses are themselves utterly useless and insufficient for their work. And they acknowledge that fact. Master, we have toiled all night, is what Peter said, and have taken nothing. I'm a fisherman. I've been working all night. There is nothing. I can do nothing. Why was this the case? Was it because there was no fish in the sea? No. Were they unskilled in their work? Certainly not. These were master seamen. Were they lacking in diligence? No, they toiled all night long. Why then had they caught nothing? Because we must ever be reminded that the instruments themselves are worthless and useless. Our Savior said, without me you can do nothing, but with him we can do all things. When the Son of God is at the helm of the boat, by some mysterious power, hordes of fishes are drawn into that net. See, the Lord usually performs His work in the most unlikely places. Our Master always chooses the most unlikely people as the objects of His grace, the most unlikely men to be His servants, and the most unlikely places to perform His works. Notice that He commanded the disciples to launch out into the deep. If you've ever fished in lakes, you know that you are not likely to catch many fish out in the deep water, are you? But our Lord says, go out into the deep, proving his power and his authority. Amen.